This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم الرابع عشر من شهر رجب 1446 الموافق للرابع عشر من شهر يناير 2025 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين لازلنا مع هذا الحديث النبوي الشريف the one that Abdullah ibn Umar said قلما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم من مجلس حتى يدعو بهؤلاء الدعوات اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا وَجَعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَادَانَا So we reached this place. So today, inshallah, we'll move on to the next part of this hadith, which is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when he tests him, he doesn't want the test to come from the side of the deen. And subhanAllah, this is very important for every one of us to understand this properly. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, any musibah that can happen to you in your health, your physical appearance, your dunya, your wealth, wallahi is very simple and easy. You get it? Your nafs is very easy. The worst musibah is the musibah that affects your deen. The worst musibah is the musibah that touches your deen. الدين رأس المال كما قال أبو محمد يقول وإذا دعيت لبدعة أو ريبة فهرب بدينك آخر البلدان الدين رأس المال فاستمسك به فضياعه من أعظم الخسران القحطاني said If somebody invites you to go against Rabbul Alameen or something that is doubtful in the deen, he said, فَهْرُبْ بِدِينِكَ آخِرَ الْبُلْدَانِ Run away to protect and preserve your religion. Even if that can cause you to reach the last part of the earth, it doesn't matter. It's worth it. He said, run away and protect your religion. Meaning, when you stay in a place, where you perceive that your religion is being affected, wallahi, it is wajib upon you to pack your things and leave that place. And this is something that is very simple for all of us to understand because the reason why we exist, is to worship Rabbul Alameen. Whatever affects this purpose is supposed to be totally rejected. Because the main objective of your existence is to worship Rabbul Alameen. Ibadatullahi Azza wa Jalla, mukhlisan lahu al-deen. So if somebody comes or something appears which affects this objective, a Muslim knows nothing except a total rejection for this. No second thought. Because my dear brothers and sisters, whatever you are favoring, أقسم بالله, in this dunya is going to be wabal, musiba for you in this dunya. And when you meet Rabbul Alameen, this is the greatest loss. You know, when the greatest loss is going to take place, is that time. You realize that definitely that safqa was really a wrong safqa. That business that you sign to neglect your religion for the sake of the dunya, you will realize that it's really wrong decision. Dunya, you get it, you're not sure whether you live to even enjoy it or not. Yeah, we have people who built up the dunya in the wrong way. The moment the time where to, when to enjoy the dunya comes, they die. Have a look at that story mentioned by Ibn Kathir in his book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. He talks about one of those kings who built up a house. You know, it's one of those kings. So he made a house, very big castle. فَسَمَّاهَا دَارَ الْخُلْدِ. He called the house Dar al-Khuld. Subhanallah. Dar al-Khuld, the house of eternity. That's how much arrogant was he. He called the castle Dar al-Khuld. Ibn Kathir says, he finished building the house. The day he get inside the house, he died. So the house should be changed to Dar al-Maut. He will lie. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلِكٍ رُفِعَتْ لَهُ عَلَامَاتٍ فَلَمَّا عَلَى مَاتٍ. Very good bait. كَمْ مِنْ مَلِكٍ رُفِعَتْ لَهُ عَلَامَاتٍ فَلَمَّا عَلَى مَاتٍ. In the past, we have so many generations who are so arrogant. When they reach that point where they think, subhanAllah, they are on top of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut them off. This is dunya, my dear brothers and sisters. Ibn Hazm has a very nice statement concerning the matter of the dunya. He says, this dunya, no matter how much big it is attached to two evil things. Number one, either it goes before you, in front of your eyes, you'll miss the dunya. We witnessed this, people used to be so rich, but now, nothing. Ewallah, people used to be so rich then. We witness this moment. We know people to be so rich. Allah has taken everything. They became very poor, extremely poor. That's dunya. The second type of evil thing is you going before it. One of the two things has to happen. Either it goes before you or you go before it. And subhanAllah, many of the people of dunya, many of them, you see the dunya itself, somebody is making use of it. They are not able to use it. They will be afflicted by a sickness and disease which will disable them from making use of that money. Imagine if there is no taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Badr was talking about a story of a very rich person who has a big farm. So he has a house in that farm. From his house, he can see the workers working in that place. So he come from the balcony one day and watching what is going on. He saw one of these workers. After he got tired, he come to take his breakfast. What was the breakfast? Just a bread and some cheese, and then that's it. That's the extent of his ability. And he see this man enjoying his meal. Subhanallah. That man, most likely, he was seeing the castles and the beauty and everything. He was wishing to have that one. And that rich person on top, he was looking at this man, the poor guy, and he was wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him ability to be able to enjoy food like this. Subhanallah, look at Rabbul Alameen. Gave him the thing, the castles, the cars and everything, but remove this integral part of enjoyment in our life, to be able to taste food. Many like that. And this is the thing that you will be compromising your deen for it. So I really advise us to revisit the way we see the dunya. Wallah, we're not meant to stay here. We're meant to move to akhirah and have the best place. Imam Shafi says, "Tamanna rijalun an amut wa in amut fatilka sabilun lastu fiha bi awhad." He said, there are some people out there, they always wish to see me dying. They wish my death. He said, so what? فَتِلْكَ سَبِيلٌ لَسْتُ فِيهَا بِأَوْحَدِ. He said, death is a path. I'm not the only one who is going to use it. They also will come. It's so funny, you know, to know that there is somebody who used to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take off the life of Imam Shafi. Because he believes that Imam Shafi is going to change whatever madhab they have in the country. And subhanAllah, rather than cooperating with him, alim min al-ulama, visit the country, rajul, cooperate with him to bring good to the community. No, hasad and ta'assub al-shadeed. He used to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to kill Imam Shafi. It is quite interesting to know that he died before Imam Shafi. Allah. So don't worry, just make sure that you're doing the right thing, hold upon your religion, aim for the akhirah. Wallahi, this is better for you in all dimensions and circumstances. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you is far greater than whatever dunya is going to reach you before you die. So don't worry, make sure that your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. So as I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَةً فِي دِينِكَ. The real musibah is the musibah that affects your religion. So take this from me, my dear brothers. This is whatever affects your integrity, your manners, your attitude, your tarbiyah, your religion. This is not for you. Leave that place immediately and go to a place where you can preserve your good manners, your religion, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, you will be able to do it perfectly. قَالَ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. You Allah, it's really necessary not to make the dunya the vast majority of your goals. Whatever you want is dunya. Please listen to this carefully. The moment dunya is like this for you, trust me, you will not be able to preserve your religion correctly. Simple thing can shake you. You'll be willing to compromise anything. You will be willing to compromise everything for you to get the dunya. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kana yuridu al-ajilata ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha liman nurid." It's a very good message for all of us. If you're looking for al-ajila, what is ajila? Dunya. Ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha. Allah said, we will give him ma nasha. Please focus on this. He says ma nasha, not ma yasha. Allah says what we want, not what he wants. Ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha liman nurid. To the one we want, not everyone. That means it's not necessary that you will get it. And after that, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَحَ مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. SubhanAllah. And then Jahannam will be the final dwelling for this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَتُ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ. I hope inshallah you guys will listen to this hadith very carefully. Because from a way or the other, you know, sometimes we are affected by these. You Allah. But we don't sense it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana ad-dunya hammahu." If dunya is all about your worries is all about dunya. How to get dunya. You think in the dunya, you're happy when you get dunya, you are sad when you lost the dunya. This is who you are. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ja'ala Allahu faqrahu bayna aynayhi." Allah is going to put your poverty between your eyes. You know what does that mean? You will never be content. Contentment will be removed from your heart. That means you will always be in a state of need. And this is the real poverty. To always be in a state of need. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنِهِ You will never be satisfied. You always worry. You have everything, but you still worry. That's why these type of people, if there is no Islam, when they encounter a loss, big loss, what did they do after that? Suicide. Just kill themselves. You can imagine how much pressure, you know, that internal pressure they have inside them. Why is that? Because the heart is empty. No contentment inside it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ghina ghinun nafs. Wal-faqru faqrun nafs. The ghina, richness, is the richness of the heart. That's contentment. And faqr is the faqr of the heart. That's made the contentment to be taken away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you always think about the dunya, how to get dunya, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنِهِ Allah is going to put his poverty between his two eyes, meaning he will never be content. Does it? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you know this is really, really bad. He says, وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ SubhanAllah. And Allah will scatter your affairs. It will be very difficult for you to be well organized. No matter how much you try, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to have a lot of deficiency in all of your plans. شَتَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ Your affairs will be scattered. How many times you try to make achievement, you know, you try your best, you fail, trying to fail. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the earliest and the first thing you should be thinking about is your relationship with the dunya. By the way, looking for the dunya is not wrong. It's good for you to be very rich. Actually, if it is possible, be the richest person on earth. That's good. Muslims actually are supposed to be like that. Those ones who are holding the wealth on the earth. Because we are the only ones who are supposed to use it properly, to manage it in the right way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Amr ibn al-As, when he appointed him to lead one of the armies, he said, I'm going to assign this responsibility to you. You will go and fight, and you will have the victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you a lot of any booty, ghanima. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't accept Islam for this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also know that he is not accepting Islam for this. SubhanAllah, that's why when he said, Ya Rasulullah, I do not accept Islam. I accept it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to become rich. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Amr, isn't it better that wealth is always placed at the hand of the righteous people? SubhanAllah. He said, isn't it better that the wealth is always placed at the hand of the righteous people? Then he understood, and the case closed. So it is always better to have the righteous people, the good ones, people who are well-mannered, to be with the one who are managing the wealth. Because they know how to manage it properly, because they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, based on their understanding that wealth belongs to Rabbul Alameen. We are just caretakers to put it in the right place. So you can be rich, as rich as you can. Actually, Islam wants you to be productive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabba ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. The strong mu'min in terms of iman, you know, and in terms of hard working, is always better than the one who is da'if in terms of iman and lazy. He says, wa fi kullin khayr. But both have good in them because they are believers. But this one is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the other one. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Always be hardworking, you know, energetic. Always be persistent in terms of looking for something which is beneficial to you. He said, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Whatever you know that there is benefit in it, rush to it. Just make sure that you're doing the halal way. You're doing it in the halal way. He said, wasta'in billah. And always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you. Wala ta'jaz. Don't be lazy, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why in the Qamus of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no laziness. He doesn't like to see a Muslim begging others. He always tell them, it is always better for you to go and take an axe, go to the forest, get simple amount of wood, sell them and get money to protect your image, rather than stretching your hand to others. Sometimes they give, sometimes they disrespect, sometimes they embarrass you, sometimes you hear a lot of words. Even if they don't tell you anything, but the humiliation that you have when you are stretching your hand to get it is more than enough to convince you that you have to go and look for your own risk by yourself. So I'm just saying this so that people will not understand that first hadith to stay away from looking for the dunya. No, it's good. Actually, dunya, if you have it in the right way and you do the right thing with that dunya, your jannah might be better than the jannah of the poor person, unless if he does more than you. Because wealth can take a person to the high level in jannah. You remember the hadith, ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. The poor people amongst the companions went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained to him. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the rich people took all the rewards. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khair, what happened? It was very sad. They were sad. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the rich people are getting everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khair, what happened? They said, Ya Rasulullah, listen, these people, they pray like us. SubhanAllah, in the time of the companions, both are rushing to please Rabbul Alamin. You go to the masjid, you see all types of people. Young people, rich people, poor people, old people, youth, everyone is there. Very nice and beautiful environment, which inshallah, we hope, even light Allah will also see it in our communities. Because nowadays, when you go to the masajid, who do you see in the masajid usually? The old ones and the poor and the little tiny kids. What happened to the youth? Facebook and somebody told me this is actually for the old people nowadays. They have another one also now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamu wa ta'ala afiyah. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, listen, these people, they pray like us. They fast like us. And Ya Rasulullah, they do everything like us. But when you look for charity, you ask for charity, they are the only one who can give. And we don't have anything to give Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, oh, you also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave you something to give in charity. He said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, what is that? He said, when you pray, do subhanallah 33 times after the prayer. Walhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 33 times. He says, if you do that, then you will be able to reach them. You can supersede them by this. So they were so happy. So happy. They went back. They kept on doing. Somebody leaked the information to the rich. They kept it very secret. You know, they don't want the rich people to to know about that. Some of our scholars said, some of the rich people, some of the poor people, he sell the information to one of them. When they heard about that, they also started doing the tasbih. So the poor people, they went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, somebody told them what we got from you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. He said, I don't have anything to give you, unfortunately. That was the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives to whomsoever he wishes. Do you know that Uthman bin Affan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا فَعَلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. Because of his wealth and the dedication he has for the sake of Rabbul Alameen through his wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from now onward, whatever Uthman did will never harm him. SubhanAllah. So it's good to be rich in a halal way and to also manage it properly. It can take you to higher position. But what is hated is to let richness or wealth get inside your heart. Because trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, when the richness get inside your heart, I mean the wealth, hubb dunya, dunya get inside your heart, most likely it will never come out. That's why you should always keep it on your hand. Not to open your hand and let everyone take it, this one also wrong in Islam, but don't let it go inside. This is very important for all of us. That's why they asked one of our great scholars, they told him how to deal with the mal, the wealth. He says, اجعل المال كالحمار أو الكنيف. He said, if you want to succeed in this dunya, make the mal like himar. What is himar? Donkey. What does he mean? Did you ever see a person who is proud of having a donkey? Donkey is a symbol of poverty. Right. Even in our time, do you ever see somebody coming out, people, I have donkey, mashallah. You know? When you see a donkey or a person, that's when that person is poor. So donkey, people get it because of what? Need. Extremely need. That's why they have donkey. Awl kanif. What is kanif? Kanif is the toilet. Akramakumullah. Al kanif, the toilet. Al kunuf. That it came in the hadith wal masajid. Awl buyut. I'm sorry. Wal buyut laysa fiha kunuf yawma idhin. In the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, hadith al ifk. Mentioned also kunuf. Kanif means the place where akramakumullah, people go and relieve themselves. When do you go to that place? Do you ever see a person going to that place and you ask him, where are you going? Where are you going? He tells you to the restroom. What does he mean? Go and rest? He has his own pillow and the mattress? No, people visit that room for need. So what is he trying to say? Always look at the wealth with the eyes of means. You know, as a means. See it as a means, not as a goal. This wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me, I see it as a means to support myself, support my family, support my religion, to do the right thing with it, not a goal. If you see it as a goal, trust me, you will never agree to give a single cent of it. That's why you see a person having huge amount of money, but doesn't pay the zakat. One of them, they told him, your zakat is 2 million. He said, that's too much, he cannot pay. SubhanAllah, imagine if a person is paying 2 million, how much money he has then? 80 million, minimum 80 million. If he's paying 2 million, that means minimum of 80 million. And he said it's too much for him, he can't handle to pay. Why is that? Because the wealth is here. His life is all about how much I get. He doesn't want to see any deficiency in that wealth. That's why Ibn Hazm has a very nice statement in his book, Mudawat al-Nufus. He was trying to tell you the nature of people in relation to the wealth. He said, whoever is looking for wealth because of this, the likeness of this man in the animals is this animal. Whoever is looking for wealth because of this, the likeness of this animal, like that. And then he comes to the last one. He said, the one who is looking for wealth for the sake of wealth, just to become rich. He said, I couldn't find anybody who looks like him except one type of nabat. Nabat means plant that usually grows on top of high mountains, which are very difficult to climb. And even in the mountain, you go to a place which is a bit hidden and grow in that place. He said, to my knowledge, nobody is able to reach that plantation except one type of bird. And when the birds reach it, it takes a few things from it, and then the plantation would just dry and die. Out of anger, somebody reaches it, you know, and get it. SubhanAllah, you can see this description of the nature of this person in terms of stinginess, because the money is always here. So back to the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْلَهُ. Allah SWT will scatter his affairs. And the worst part of this is that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And he will never get from the dunya except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him, subhanAllah. With all of his effort to get the dunya, he will never get more than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for him. And the opposite is given to the one who is not basing his affairs on the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jama'a lahu amrahu wa shamlahu. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if your goal is akhirah, dunya will be chasing you. Nowadays, we are chasing the dunya, right? We get into trouble, we sell our religion, we compromise everything. But if Allah is in your heart, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you think about akhirah more than the dunya, dunya is going to be chasing you wherever you go. SubhanAllah, very beautiful life. And to give you a nice and good news, which some of you already know it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahidan wa huwa hammul ma'ad." If you can unite your worries, you know, in this dunya, do we have worries? Yes, a lot, a lot. Every one of us has a lot of worries. There are worries you don't even know where they're coming from. Some of them you might not know that you have them, but they were there. You might not call them worries, but they're worries. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you can combine all of your worries and make your worry only one worry in this life. You have a lot of worries, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you can make your worries only one worry. وَهُوَ هَمُّ الْمَعَادِ. And this worry is the worry of how to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. He said, in this dunya, if you can manage to make your worry, only one worry, you have no worry except this one, which is how to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. What is the reward? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَهَمَّهُ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah promised to take care of the rest of your worries. Iwallah, you will never fail in life. If the only thing you worry about is how to meet Rabbul Alameen peacefully, Rabbul Alameen promise you that he will take care of all of your other worries. Imagine if the king, prime minister, minister, governor, somebody big in the community told you, don't worry, I will take care of you. How happy would you be? You will be feeling that you are untouchable on earth. But imagine Rabbul Alameen is the one who tells you this, that don't worry, I stand for you. Iwallah, you will be well protected. And bidhin Allah ta'ala, you will never get disappointed. You will never be in an obstacle without having a way out of it. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a very important hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. Don't you ever make the dunya the vast majority of your thinking, the vast majority of your worry. Don't make your worry in this life is how to get the dunya and how to preserve it. Your worry should be how to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully, how to preserve the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرْ هَمِّنَا. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا كُلًّا نُمِدْ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. So inshallah I will emphasize on these ayat that I have quoted in the next class. I realize that I guess the time is up. So we stop here, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Okay, there is a question about an organization that receives a laptop for research and somebody who is in charge of it. And it was given to them for the activities of the organization. Is it okay for that person to use them for their own personal work? This one depends on the giver and depends also on the organization itself. If let's say they put the laptop in the office of that person and based on the norm, the custom of that organization, that a person is supposed to make sure that the work is being done. But in his free time, he can also browse things which are part of his personal interest. Then it's okay. But if they